Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Development and Stakeholder Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara, and I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. Happy Classified School Employee Week. This month, we are also recognizing National Mental Health Awareness Month and Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. So with that, two brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you are a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment during the public comments section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, to the members of our board and staff, as always, please state your name before speaking. And with that, we'll commence today's stakeholder committee meeting. The day is Wednesday, May 19th, and the time is 6:03 p.m. With that, Ms. Covarrubias, may you please call the meeting to order?
Yes, hi. Has Ms. Lara said that it's May 19th, and it is 6:03, and we are now starting our development and stakeholder committee meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll now take roll call to establish quorum. Ms. Covarrubias?
I'm here.
Dr. Yalpinov?
Here.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you to our committee board members. We have established quorum for this meeting. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. We did not receive any public comment form for this meeting. However, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment, you may unmute yourself now. Perfect. If there's no public comments, we'll move forward with the agenda. Next, with the approval of the agenda, the motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Thank you, Dr. Yalpinov, for seconding. I'll now take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpinov?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved unanimously. Next, we'll move on to the announcements from the CEO and superintendent and committee members. I'll turn this over to Mr. Rubalcaba.
Thank you, Jen, and good evening to all the Magnolia Board of Directors and all the staff and community members. It's very nice to see all of you on, I believe today is Wednesday. It feels like it's a Thursday, but that's because we're having so many meetings. Thank you for always helping us with that, our wonderful board of directors. I don't have any specific updates just because this item that we bring forward to you is obviously requires all of us to give input. So I will leave my comments after the presentation. So with that, I will turn it over back to Jen.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Is there any announcements from the committee members before moving forward?
I mean, we have two upcoming staff recognition events. Should I remind them or is this is not the place to do that?
No, you can. You can, Dr. Yalpinov.
Yeah, so there is a staff recognition lunch happening at Magnolia Santa Ana campus. That's tomorrow at 1 and then for about an hour. And there's another celebration happening at MSA San Diego at 5 p.m. Friday evening until 7:30 p.m. This is to celebrate their selection as California Distinguished School. So I would like to extend the invitation to all of the board members, CT members, and principals. Thank you.
Thank you,
Dr. Yalpinov. Thank you for that. And we will be out there. And thank you for organizing this. And thank you for pushing us to obviously have these different get-togethers, and we hope to do it for several of our schools if time permits, because it's always wonderful to go to the school sites and recognize great work. So thank you for this.
Thank you, Dr. Yalpinov. Any other announcements from our committee members? If not, we'll move forward with the agenda. Next, with the approval of minutes from the Stakeholder Engagement Committee meeting on May 10th, 2021. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I can move.
I'll second it. Either way.
Either way, yes.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias and Dr. Yabanol for seconding. I'll now take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yabanol?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee board members. The minutes for May 10th, 2021 has been approved. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with 2A, 2021 through 22 pay raise scales for teachers, non-classroom-based academic personnel, and school leaders. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, our Chief Operations Officer. My apologies. Go ahead, Mr. Ajar.
Yeah, operations. It's not a note for David. Okay. Dear board members, dear stakeholder committee board members, this agenda item is a routine item that we take right in front of actually our board members every year. We consider what's going on in the market. Also, we just make meetings with our principals to revise the additional payment types which are existing in our scale. We also go over the one-time add-ons, which is part of our teacher non-classroom-based academic staff scales. So it takes like 2 months actually to go over all these with the principals back and forth. They also make meetings with their administration, come back to us, and then we just decide on which add-ons to add for the next year. We also discuss the possible base dollar amount changes for every school. Part of this discussion actually is this one. Next, we take it to the appropriate CT members to discuss with the finance actually to go over the budget items. So after a long back and forth and revising and thinking more and more, we just make the first draft proposal ready to summarize what happened in the past 2 months. We just take everything in front of our stakeholder committee member, formerly known as personnel committee, to put what we are thinking in front of you, get your feedback, and then you can ask all your questions to us, also to our CFO, who is here, Mr. Orozov is also here. Our director of HR is also here, our CEO and myself, to get your feedback, answer your questions in case you have any feedback. We will take our notes, and then we will take it, take this item to the full board in the May 27th meeting. With all your feedback and all revision changes requests that may happen today. Basically, what you will see today in front of you is the teachers, non-classroom-based academic personnel, and school leader scales. So the teacher scale is commonly known. These are certified teaching, actually, positions, which are existing on our school grounds. These are math, you know, teachers, English teachers, history, social studies, physical education, and all teachers who are actually having certain additional actually points that they are getting based on what they are doing throughout the year. The basis that we are suggesting for all the schools to be $52,000, this is a change compared to last year. At this point, the base actually that we have currently is $50,000. It was frozen. It was planned to be 52, but frozen last year because of the COVID-related issues. And $48,000 for Santa Ana and San Diego, frozen like that. So we are releasing it back to the current situation, our former situation, for existing LA schools. And then we are increasing the Santa Ana and San Diego base dollar amounts to $52,000 to equalize all the bases for all our Magnolia schools. So to summarize, the basis will be $52,000 for all the schools if approved like this. And if actually we don't have any budgetary issues, any concerns. At this point, our CFO is also going to give you some update about his initial actually recommendations. Next, we updated our annual add-ons for our teachers. We also felt like we need to add some home office related tasks, which was not existing previously. For some of the items, for example, what we said, teach, you know, we call it TOSA, you know, like specific assignments. For example, we say, hey, you know, we are going to get, let's say, a new, actually, as a replacement of, you know, Illuminate that we are using, we will replace it with something else. And then let's say, hey, teacher John Doe, we would like you to attend this actually to be the teacher leader for this. Previously, this was not existing in our scale. For any items like this one or any other actually specific meetings that we home office wants teachers to be actually involved, then we just will assign it to any teachers who is accepting this request. And then now this is part of it actually. And for non-classroom based academic personnel, we are actually suggesting a little bit increase actually for college counselors. You will see it over here. Also for special education teachers, we are adding a little bit more. We are adding specific actually new additional positions over here. We will also add more. We are still working on this, and the full board report will also have a possible social worker as well. You will not see it here. And for school leaders, we are actually going with the same scale as last year. We will reactivate the minimum base salary for the deans and the principals, which was frozen last year. So the minimum, for example, for the principals that you will read in this suggested scale is $100,000, even though the scale may not be actually calculating $100,000. Let's say the total actually comes up to 98, we will just take it to $100,000. So the minimum base salary for the principals, similar for the deans, you will see it over here. Basically, you know, this, as you see, there is a, I think you're going to see the same table that I am seeing right now. Table one, actually, it just gives you the total number of teachers for MSA one and the total salaries and the number of that NCBA refers to non-classroom based academic personnel, such as college counselors, and the total salary for those. Number of school leaders, these are the deans, assistant principals, and the principal himself or herself for each site. Total actual dollar amount assigned for that. And then the total number of salary of the staff members, which are under this scale. And right at the end, you will see the total dollar amount for that specific site. And at the bottom, you have the total dollar amount for all Magnolia schools. This is gross. It does not have any additional payments we make, compensations, for example, STIRS and PERS, it's not included here. Health-related actual compensation benefits are not included here. Also, the scale that you see right now is not inclusive of classified salaries. That's going to come in front of you as a separate one on June 3rd stakeholder committee meeting. Again, this does not have the classified employees of home office or school sites. We don't have it here. Plus, the home office employees are under a specific salary band. They are also not here, as you see, when you look at the left side. That's the reason you only see the 10 school sites and the grand total. There's no home office and no classified employees in this scale. So the table two, if you look at it, you will see actually the 21-22 performance pay. Current year, 2021, in this current year, this was frozen. Because of the uncertainties about COVID, we did not actually plan. We just take it to the board last year. I think it was around this time. And then we just asked the board to freeze the performance pay for this current year. However, for next year, we are reinstating this performance pay. It's going to be only for highly performing staff members. And then $0 for anybody actually who is under highly effective. And if the employee is highly effective, the employee is going to get $2,000. Basically, it's either $0 or $2,000. So how we came up with this, I also explain in this, but briefly, the last time that we have the evaluations actually, was the 2019-20 school year. So as you know, 2021 has not been completed yet. That's why we don't have the exact percentages of how, you know, what percent of the staff members are highly effective or not. So we just work with the accountability department, basically David, who is taking care of evaluations through a program called Teach Boost. And then in that 19-20 school year's evaluations, the last time we completed all the evaluations, we noticed actually that around 58.75, like 59% of all the teachers were highly qualified. So we assume that around the same percentage will be highly effective, actually, in this current year, 2020, or 21-22, I'm sorry, for next year. And for school leaders, we also assumed the same, actually, idea. And then we just looked at what percent of the school leaders were highly effective in 2019-20, and it was 75%. So we assumed that 75% of the school leaders will be highly effective in 21-22. So that's why we just looked at the total dollar amount for school leaders, for example, and just took the 75% of it for each site and came up with these dollar amounts to just estimate how much money we should budget for performance space. So basically, that's it from my side. If my team members can also, if they want to join here, Daria, you can actually say, Alfredo, if you have any ideas or any, you know, more feedback here, you can just join and let our board members know.
Yes, I'll go first. Thank you, Suat. So yeah, as Suat said, this was brought to the board of directors last year, and this is when we discovered that there was going to be a $54 billion deficit in the state of California, right? So we said to the board and to our entire community, you know, if, you know, before the pandemic, we were expecting to then increase the base pay for all the schools, the $2,000, right? Which again would have been for Santa Ana going from 48 to 50,000, San Diego going from 48 to 50,000, and then the LA schools going from 50 to 52,000. We said pre-pandemic, this is what we were planning. And we also said that obviously we were going to acknowledge the year of experience. So that would go up. And then we were also going to, you know, incorporate our practice of the performance pay and make that $2,000. But in the past it was $4,000, but we did have to take a different approach and lower it to 2000 because again, the forecast was very bleak at that time. And what we learned is unexpectedly, obviously we had the difficult task of then trying to provide a high quality education through a pandemic, right? Which, again, none of us have ever gone through a pandemic, but we said we're going to work together to make this work for everyone, but most importantly, our kids. So for us, as we started to go throughout the year, we started to get signs from the, you know, the different bodies, whether it be the Legislative Analyst Office, the Department of Finance, the governor, that things were then changing, right? And you're like, what? How could the economy have revenue improvements if we're still going through COVID? And obviously the governor said, you know, things to the effect, oh yes, but you know, the personal income tax is really strong because the top 1% of earners are doing really well, right? And that, you know, when withholdings happen there, that money goes into the revenue stream for education. So, you know, corporations tax is up, sales tax, you're seeing a lot of this happen through online. So we started to see things that we did not expect. And when I say we, I also mean the experts. So with this, we started to kind of see that this would possibly turn into a positive year for more money for schools. And with that, we got an influx of federal support from the three stimulus bills, from the stimulus bill that we received when the pandemic hit, March 27th, and then the second stimulus bill, December 11th, 2020, and then the just most recent one, March 11th, 2021. So we saw money come to education there. So what happened is, as we came to you, because of some of that money was geared to schools, reopening schools in a safe manner, and also in a manner that looks at the whole child and focuses on the mental health of students first before you really tackle some of those in-person strategies to improve learning, which is different than what we've had done through distance learning. So we started to see some of that money flow to us, and we used that money, which we brought to you, to then obviously tell our staff that we love you, thank you for everything you've done. We're gonna give you a discretionary bonus. So that we were able to do. And now what we were also thinking about is obviously now making things, making everyone whole, right? So if we look back at May 27, 2020, now we're at May 27, 2021, you know, and now we're able to do that. And again, as you will hear from Sardar, his analysis is not complete. But what we did want to do is obviously make this budget a very, very important value statement that we're saying here that in order for us to provide the best quality education for our students, the best resources for our community, the best capacity building for our staff, the best trajectory for us to have successful years, not only next year, for the future, we really want to bring a very robust compensation package, which this is before you. This is our best attempt at that. And again, it doesn't differ much from the budget we brought you last year when the pandemic hit. The difference is that we did say we did want to equalize Santa Ana and San Diego to then have equal salary schedules across all 10 schools. That's what's different. But again, what's happening is we're kind of reading the tea leaves that we are going to get more funding. And for us, the best approach was to bring this to you as we still evaluate it. And that's the work that Sardar is doing. And I'm also part of that. So then when we come to the 27th, we're able to say, yes, through the state funding, we're able to pay for these, you know, these increases in base pay. Because of this state funding, we're able to pay for the years of experience, which here we have 2 years. Because of this funding, we are also doing the performance pay. So we want to be able to tell you that. But as all of you know, is that the governor's May revise came out on May 14th. So we're starting to study that and look at to see where there's areas for us to be able to support this. And that's what, you know, we want to be able to do to give everyone confidence. But what we bring before you here is our best attempt to say this is a great compensation package for what we're trying to do, which is, again, trying to provide the best quality education for our students moving forward, and to take care of the rest of our stakeholders to do that. So with that, I will turn it over to Sardar just to add some perspective on the budget impact, which all of us obviously know at the end of the day, you have to have the resources to be able to do that, right? And for us, there's a couple of factors that I could tell you about now, but still need further analysis from Sardar. So what I tell you is that in 1920, we had 3,892 students. Because of the pandemic, we came into 2021. We had 3,869, a drop of 23 students. Not a big drop, but there was a drop. Six of our schools showed growth. Other four were stagnant or went down. So that happened. Multiple factors that we discussed throughout the year. And then in this budget and what the money we're obviously estimating for here, we have 3,962 students, right? So between 1920, 2021, there's a difference of less than 100 students, because we also understand those complexities and nuances of trying to expand quickly, given that obviously we all know that housing affordability is high, low birth rate, and migration is high in LA County, San Diego County, and Santa Ana and Orange County. They're different, but we have to be mindful of that. But we're still confident in telling you, because we are going to provide a really rigorous program next year, that we will be able to meet this number, right? And we also know that this year, we had the hold harmless, and, you know, next year that's still trying to be sorted out. So just wanted to give you that context, and then I'll turn it over to Sardar to give the budget impact the way he sees it. Sardar?
Yeah, thank you, Alfredo, and good evening, board members and Magnolia family. So I think, Alfredo, you covered it for the most part, and you didn't leave anything to me to add. But obviously, we heard back from the governor's office last Friday in terms of what he is proposing as a budget revision, May budget revision. It is yet to be voted on to kind of get enacted on next month on the 15th. But we're at the moment, we're trying to unpack it. We're trying to learn what exactly it entails. Today, we attended a 3-hour webinar with CSDC, Charter School Development Center. We are scheduled to attend another webinar tomorrow and on Friday. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to learn more in terms of what exactly those proposals mean and what fiscal impacts those will have on us. But in terms of the timeline, we didn't want to delay for human resources to bring on and present what they have in mind in terms of additional salary increases for teachers and administrative staff at the school sites, as well as the performance pace for 21-22. I can just probably give you a brief update on in terms of what it means, what the mayor vision brought on us. So for the main part, we are going to receive a 5.07% COLA increase. On the base LCFF revenue. Last year, the statutory COLA increase were projected at 2.35%. What happened is after COVID hit, that was frozen. And obviously, as a result, we did not give any salary increases to our staff members. So for 21-22, what the governor is suggesting is to not only provide the COLA increase for 21-22, which is at 2.7%, they're all also because of the economy unfolded in the last several months, the state is projecting to have a large surplus, and they're in a position actually to make whole the 20 basically fill up the COLA increase that initially was not dispersed or granted in for 2021. So that's another 2.35 altogether. I think we're looking at around 5.07 altogether. That's the LCFF portion of that. Plus, on the LCFF supplemental concentration piece, the state is proposing, the governor's office is proposing to disperse another $1.1 billion to augment the program. That will come with additional, some restrictions attached. We will have to basically hire more staffing, add more adults in the classrooms to be able to benefit from this program. Whereas a regular supplemental concentration grants, in a sense, is unrestricted, and we don't have that restrictions attached to those programs. But these additional amounts that we could potentially receive will be coming with additional attachments in terms of the restrictions. So those are the main two aspects in terms of what fiscal impacts we're gonna have as part of the May revision in terms of additional revenue. We also will have around 4.05% COLA increase on special education, the state portion of the special education funding. There will be additional, again, this is at proposal stage yet. We don't know if legislature will approve it on the 15th when they vote, but the proposal is to extend and increase the funding for AB 86 grant as well. So as you may remember, the AB 86 has two components. One is the in-person instructions grant, and the other piece is expanded learning opportunity grant. The new proposal as part of the May revision is proposing to increase and add on more funding to those programs. We don't know yet if those increases will take place, but again, it will be voted on and be finalized on the 15th. The May revision did not provide much clarity on whether or not we're going to be getting the hold harmless provision again. I think the trailer bill does include a wording around including charter schools and actually extending that hold harmless provision for 21-22 as well. But it is something yet to be voted on. The experts are saying that it's less than less likely that it will be approved. But again, we'll be hearing more on that and by when we get closer to June 15th. As you can see, there are a lot of moving pieces, both internally and externally, in terms of funding and internally in terms of the compensation package we're trying to put together with human resources. So by next meeting, we're planning to finish our review process and kind of give an idea in terms of how much of these increases we can really afford. Our target is not to use any of the one-time fundings for a permanent salary increases, because we totally understand that, you know, the importance of not using one-time funding for ongoing expenses. So in that regard, we are focused on utilizing the one-time funds for one-time expenses, one-time programs, but not for permanent salary increases. But again, I think we will have a better sense and better presentation by next week, the 27th. In the meanwhile, if you have any specific questions in terms of the additional revenue sources or the salary increases, we're happy to address those.
Thank you. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? I see one hand raised.
I think it's mine. So basically, what I'm wondering is, if the calendar gets approved and we add one or two weeks to our calendar, then will this number change based on that? Because then that would add another 1,000 or 2,000 for each person's salary if the calendar changes.
Absolutely. So I can address that. Alfredo, you can chime in. So we're in the process of deciding whether or not we're going to add additional days in terms of extending the school year. But if that was to take place, then we will have additional funding. These numbers that you're looking at, that you're in front of you, do not include any compensations that will be part of the extended school year. We have additional resources. We have, as part of the ABA 6, we've been granted the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, which we are planning on utilizing for extended school year program, if that will be the decision, if that is something academics teams working with the principals and the school sites currently, if the decision is to approve and proceed with extended school year, then we will be adding more funding to this. And we have set aside resources specifically to cover that program. It's not going to be coming from the LCFF funding or any of the ongoing funding sources.
Yeah, so this is Alfredo, CEO Superintendent. So Mrs. F, nice to see you. I'll call you by your teacher name. So yes, the great thing is that you know, things are happening so quickly. So the survey results, actually today was the last day. So I don't know the results of that, but I do know that we're kind of leaning towards a no, but it was very close. So hopefully we find out what that looks like. But with that, if let's say it was a yes, as Sardar mentioned, there are the expanded learning opportunity grants that will allow us to then pay that specific money. So then we would also bring this item to the board to then be able to then pay teachers the necessary funding for those 5 additional days. So that's the great thing about, you know, us reimagining and rethinking how we do things, that the federal government has given us money to think about that. So let's say we say, well, you know, unanimously or the majority voted not to extend the school year, then there's still opportunities to then increase more clubs at the schools or more tutoring sessions or more Saturday schools. So that money is not going to go to the wayside, right? It's going to be used for something. And the great thing is that all of you were part of that process. So we'll be able to spend it and it's going to eventually go back into the classrooms, go back into servicing the kids and the families that we so dearly do with so much honor. So hopefully that addressed your question.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yes, I had a quick one.
Beginning to dry off. And he was feeling safe.
There are two comments I wanted to make. The first one is like the executive staff to convey to increase the salaries to the district levels. Basically, I don't want to lose good teachers to district just because they get 2,000 more, 5,000 more. I want to find ways. One second. I want to find ways to erase that that gap, if at all possible. I know that this isn't something we can do urgently or quickly, but if we work towards that, I think it can be done in the long term. Secondly, Daria, I asked about improving the benefits with backup care. I wonder if this is the place for an update. If not, I would appreciate an email update. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanow. Yes, our goal has always been to provide the best benefits package, and we understand what other competing districts do. And although we believe we do things better than the competing districts, and that's why we became charter schools, we're also always very cognizant of always providing a competitive package. And I think with this package you have in front of you, it is very competitive. Obviously, we can't do an apples to apples because there's different scales and how things are done. But we feel very confident that we're headed towards the right direction. And if you go back all the way back to 2018 and 19, where our base pay was 46,600. So from 46,600 to now 52,000, if this is approved next week, then that to us is a nice increase, a competitive increase. And we're always looking to then add other layers of benefits, which is, again, the strongest benefits package, which if it inclusive of that benefit care that you talked about, or, you know, adding other elements to additional duties. And what we want to do is be able to tell our teachers and our staff that if you're someone who now has gone from being a teacher who maybe when you started, you did have more time to do after school or to do other clubs. We're saying to you, we're increasing the base pay, right? Because we want you to focus as much as you can with the balance you have at home from 7:45 to 4 o'clock, right? And then if you're someone who's starting out or, you know, you maybe have some flexibility to do a club or to do a sports or to do AP class or robotics class, we're also have something to then give you that balance and also compensate you. But yeah, I think we're very competitive. And for us, yes, I'm a very competitive, all of us are. We want to provide the best package and that's what we're striving to do.
That's great. Thanks so much. I have no doubt that you are doing your best. I just don't want to hear any more cases that some of our good teachers found somewhere else 2,000 more. And they just had to take it because, I mean, I don't judge them because their family situation may require them to take it. So I don't want to put anyone in that situation. If they want to work for us, we have to find ways to keep them with us. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. And I'll work with HR to get a response to you on the other resource that is so dearly needed. Okay. Especially during
these times. And one last thing. So if such cases occur, like let's say one member has found a position outside of our schools, but we want to keep that staff. Does the principal has any flexibility to increase the pay just to be able to retain that talent? Do we have this flexibility?
Yes, we do have that flexibility. The wonderful thing about our structure, our salary schedules, obviously it does. It's very, very technical in the sense that, yes, we have to follow the scale. But if there are circumstances where, you know, we do feel that we definitely want to retain this employee and this employee is doing some amazing work, we do have a process by which they come to me. We discuss it. We discuss everything because every single person that's on a campus has an impact, right? Whether you're the janitor, whether you're the teacher, whether you're the cafeteria worker, whether you're the counselor, each one. So when we discuss each case, we discuss obviously all those things. And if, you know, if it needed, we will make that through a waiver that I signed for the teachers to keep them and to pay them a little bit above the structure.
This is Dr. Yafanel. If you check the attachment for the suggested scales, the explanations have a part of this which says the CEO waiver can waive the process of the scale. And then in case the CEO and the school actually comes together and then wants to give more to an employee because of the need of the school and the qualifications or the market rate, then we can actually make changes. But none of these, you know, additional payments are made without the final approval of the CEO, which is based on the operations and the
You are cutting off, but I understood. I got my answer. Thank you so much both for responding.
No problem. Thank you.
Any further questions or comments from the members of our board?
Go ahead. Let's go.
Yes, so my question is that flexibility only for teachers or for counselors and other staff members as well?
That's a great question, Semra. Nice to see you. Oh, sorry, I'm being consistent, Ms. O, with your teacher. So with that, I will turn it to HR to give an explanation as to what the scale, who it's applicable to, and then I'll let Suat and others chime in. Daria, go for it.
I am. This is Daria. So just to be specific on the flexibilities, are you talking about the base? Just so I can give you like the right answer or more appropriate answer. So if you can elaborate on that one.
Are you asking me or?
Yeah. I mean, when you say the flexibility for the college counselor, is that regarding the base? Basically, all the mentioned increases will also include the non-classroom-based academic positions, which in this case, college counselors.
Yeah, my question was, you know, like how Dr. Yafanel asked if we have flexibility to increase the salary of staff members. I don't know if it's like it can be base salary or it can be any extra.
So any extra pay besides, so for the teachers and the non-classroom base, we do have a pay scale that we place everyone in the pay rate scale based on the experience and the degree. So if anything, you know, it's going to be at the school discretion or of course, including the budget, then, you know, if there's any additional duties, if anything, that can be done extra pay, that's going to be communicated with us from the school sites. So that's also including the non-classroom based academic positions. That extra pay, possible extra pay. Hope that answers your question.
It kind of does, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mohammed, if you had a question.
Yes, Jennifer, thank you. Sardar, this is Mekhan. Sardar, so from my understanding, that's what's being proposed here. It does have some moving parts depending on your webinars that you attended with CSDC and the funding and the COLA rates not being finalized by the state that will be to an extent finalized by the general board meeting. Am I understanding it correctly?
So good question, Mekhan. Thank you for asking that question. So any proposal that was part of the May revision will be finalized on June 15th, but we feel pretty comfortable that the 5.07 will be approved. And then the amount that is entitled for the supplemental concentration grant, $1.1 billion, we are confident, pretty confident those are going to pass, those are going to be improved, but in terms of our internal analysis, at the end of the day, yes, would like to offer the best package, both in terms of benefits and compensation to our employees. But we as a team need to do our due diligence in terms of, you know, making sure that these increases are sustainable in terms of financial planning, right? So what we are working on right now is, on one end, HR is, you know, putting this analysis together, and we're trying to finalize our budgets for 21-22 so that we can look at the budgets, we can look at what additional revenue, you know, increases we're going to get for 21-22 and kind of understand if we really can afford these increases. That's what is dependent on currently, but I think we're not going to wait until June 15th. But in terms of the full, you know, approval of the budget, we are being sensitive of that, the fact, and we want to take the final budget for 21-22 to the board after June 15th so that we know for sure the funding levels we expect to have will in fact realize, and those will be approved on June 15th.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Can I give some context too? So yeah, so if you look back at January 2020, the expected COLA at that time was 3%, roughly 3%. It's 2 point something, right? So staff did make the analysis back then that we would be able through that to provide the, you know, going from 48 to 50 for the two schools and then 50 to 52, the year of experience and then the 2000 performance, and then the pandemic hit, right? So that's why we intentionally said, hey, if the pandemic hadn't hit, this is what we would have brought forth to you, right? And then what we heard in the January 21 proposal, 2021, was a COLA of 3.84, right? And since then, the new information, which Sardar just shared, it went up to 4.05 because of the federal government, right? And then the state added another 1%. Now it's at the 5%. So just that perspective in terms of the analysis from that COLA to this COLA, kind of, so just wanted to add that.
Absolutely. I personally also thank very much for putting together a very thorough explanation and also the understanding behind it. So yes, thank you.
Any further questions or comments from our board?
I think Sandra was next, right? Sandra had a question?
I might
be mistaken. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I just want to make sure, because I know some teachers had questions and counselor members. So I just want to make sure that all their questions were answered, because it was a little bit confusing to one of their questions as to what you guys answered. So I think it was Miss O. I don't think her question was completely answered.
Okay, so with that, Samra or Miss O, what question or what part of your question was it? Did we not provide clarity? And hopefully I could help with the clarity.
Yes, extra clarification will be appreciated. So correct me if I misunderstood. So you said if the pay scale is under like what districts are paying, CEO can approve additional payments, right?
Correct.
Is that only for teachers or counselors? Because for college counselors, we do not have extra opportunities as teacher has, such as like tutoring or other opportunities. So it is based on mostly like points, which are only 5 points on addition to base salary. And it is really under what districts are paying. So my question was, based on the school, based on the needs, are you able to increase that with extra pay or not?
Yes. So the answer is yes. And it applies to every individual on the school campus.
Awesome.
And if you're able to make the case, and through our analysis, that you are underpaid versus the district and those duties are an apple for an apple, we will sit down and make sure that you are equalized. You know, if the budgeting is correct and everything else is correct, we will do that.
Thank you.
Does that address your question?
It did, actually. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Alfredo.
Any further questions or comments from our board? Perfect. If there's no further questions or comments, the motion is for the Development and Stakeholder Committee to recommend the approval of the 2021 through 22 employee pay raise scale for full-time teaching positions and non-classroom-based academic and CBA positions and school leaders to the MPS Board of Directors. With that, would a committee member like to move the motion?
So Jennifer, I think what's clear is that Sardar hasn't done his analysis. So in order for the board to recommend something to the full board, then they have to get the full information. So I think the right thing to do here would be for the board to obviously get that analysis and then to make, to be able to discuss that at the board meeting. If I am incorrect there, board members, let me know if you guys do feel comfortable making the recommendation to the full board without that budget impact analysis. I will turn it over to you.
Yeah, this is Covarrubias. I actually wasn't comfortable when you guys mentioned it, but I'll go with the other two board members.
Makan, Umit, what do you guys think?
What was it? Sorry, I didn't get what Sandra said.
So basically, since Sardar has to still do the budget impact analysis from the different moving parts, we wanted to ensure that you receive that information in order to make a full recommendation to the board to pass this. And since you don't have that, then, you know.
But would that work with your timeline? That's more important to me than having the budget impact.
Sardar?
Yeah, it should be okay. At the end of the day, even if the subcommittee, approves it, it is an approval to recommend. So I think it will just, if you just can basically present what was presented today, and we can postpone the discussion around the budget affordability part to the next meeting, I guess, where we're going to be able to present on if, in fact, that is affordable. So today, even if the stakeholders committee approves the recommendation, the board still has the opportunity to deny it. So we do have enough time in terms of getting it approved.
So in other words, if you have a vote of confidence of everything we've said, you would make that recommendation. So then we could have a fuller discussion on the 27th. Correct, Sardar? That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's what we're saying now. Just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, thanks for this clarification for me. This cleared a lot of things. And if we have enough information by the next board meeting, and Sardar will have much better footing and more input. So I don't mind recommending it now and opening up for discussion on the next board meeting.
Yes, I agree to make that.
Great, so Jen, go for it. Jennifer, go ahead and read it again, and then we will go through the motion.
Okay, so just so I'm correct, the original motion does not change.
Nope, stays the same. Just rephrase it, since we've had like a 3-minute discussion. Not rephrase it, but restate it, sorry.
Okay. So the motion is once again for the Development and Stakeholder Committee to recommend the approval of the 21 through 22 employee pay raise scale for full-time teaching positions and non-classroom-based academic and CBA positions and school leaders to the MPS Board of Directors. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion.
A second.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Thank you, Dr. Yapano, for seconding. I'll now take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. That concludes all of our agenda items for today's meeting. With that, we'll be closing tonight's meeting. With Ms. Covarrubias, may you please adjourn the meeting? The time is 6:56 p.m.
Yes, I would like to close our committee meeting. It's 6:57, and I would like to thank everybody that did all the hard work. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a pleasant evening. Have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.